You're listening to the Chicago Audible Podcast, changing up the way Bears fans stay up to date on their favorite team since 2015. Now get ready, because it's time to bear down.
What's going on, Bears fans? This is Nicholas Moriano, and I'm alongside my good friend, David Sivia, who graduated from NIU in broadcast journalism, and we're here giving you our camp report from day 7 of Bears training camp. David, this is your first time here at Bourbonnais.
This year,
first timer. What was your initial takeaways just from the entire practice?
It's awesome to see how fast the defense flies around.
Yeah.
You kind of read about it, you hear some of the stories that get wrote after every day, and how good, you know, the carryover has been. They are fast. There's so many plays where the D-line, you know what I mean, are already in the quarterback's space, and essentially the play would be dead. You know, they run it to get the throw off, but Khalil Mack just... he's a bully out there. Akeem Hicks is just massive. And I really noticed Leonard Floyd, how he stepped up. You know what I mean? His pass rush repertoire, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Really, you could tell he's getting better, and it's just the whole crew, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a big thing. Once the pads came on for the Bears in day 3, I believe, you really saw this defense just kind of open up and become the defense that we're all accustomed to from last season.
Right.
So this regression talk that articles have been written about, I don't know. It just doesn't show it.
There's just so many different levels to the Bears' defense. You know, you have the established veterans like Hicks and Mack, and then you have guys who are going to still be developing. You know, Eddie Jackson in the secondary, Roquan at the middle linebacker position.
Bilal Nichols.
Yeah, up front, you know what I mean? He'll be a name where I think you'll start hearing it more just because he's going to work his way into a position. One of the other things that just I noticed, you know what I mean, Roquan Smith, the sideline-to-sideline coverage is up close and personal. It's awesome to see. You know, late in practice during the team drill, actually, he went up, was contested by Adam Shaheen. It was kind of one of the box out, go up and get it type plays. Roquan got his hand in there, and it led to a Prince Amukamara interception. So you really see that type of stuff in his development. You know what I mean? He didn't have a training camp last year, and he still put up awesome numbers. I believe it was like 120 something tackles, and so many pass breakups and whatnot. I think having a full year training camp under his belt, we'll see the development. I don't think there's a whole lot of regression that's going to be taking place.
I don't either. And the play that David was alluding to was a team drill in the red zone, where it's the first team offense versus the first team defense. Mitch Trubisky throws a fade route to Adam Shaheen, and Roquan Smith, like you said, gets his hands in there, ends up in Prince Amukamara's hands, then at some point got lateral to Eddie Goldman, who takes it back for 6 in the opposite end zone.
Yep.
Hey. How's it going, you guys?
Yeah, that was a really cool thing to see. You could tell these guys are having fun out there. You know, Prince had, you know, was dead in his tracks, but you know what I mean? It was the last rep for the first team. You know, Eddie Goldman was standing about midfield, and, you know what I mean, his eyes lit wide up when he got the ball. You could tell the big guy doesn't really see it as much, but you know what I mean, they hustled down 60-70 yards, and the entire defense joined them. You could tell these guys are having fun flying around out there.
They definitely are, and like we were talking about Khalil Mack earlier, there was a play where David Montgomery gets through the line of scrimmage, is going towards the left corner of the end zone. Of course, number 52 is just trailing behind him, ready to poke the ball out.
I think that might just be a veteran move, you know, not letting the rookies get comfortable. You know what I mean? Something like that. It was, you know, Khalil Mack never gives up on a play, mm-hmm. and he did not let the rookie, you know what I mean, get his little time in the spotlight just to get to the goal line. You know what I mean? I think that just some him being a veteran and, you know what I mean, not letting the rooks be comfortable.
Exactly. And you know what? Throughout training camp, each and every day, whenever the defense comes over, number 52, Khalil Mack is always the first one running to, you know, and these team drills. He's ready.
We've kind of noticed it together. You know what I mean? Khalil Mack, you know, full on sprint once they got into the team drill. You know, Leonard Floyd was kind of right there, but there was no one even close to him, like, afterwards. It's, you love to see it because he's essentially the heart, and at least the heart, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. Some other players on the defense are the soul, the beat, and whatnot, but I don't think he's going to, you know, these guys have a chip on their shoulders, and they're really showing it by flying around out there.
Yeah, and you know, obviously Khalil Mack is the highest paid defensive player in the league, and you know how some players may get their money, and you know, they depends on how they kind of carry themselves. Khalil Mack's the same person, regardless of the money, going to lead by example, and that's what you want to see out of the number three best player in the league, according to the NFL.
100%. He has a chip on his shoulder, obviously, you know what I mean? They're looking to go farther this year than they did last, and they want to play at that same high level, and it's awesome to see. You know what I mean? Just the tenacity throughout the entire D, you know what I mean? A lot of opportunistic plays. Prince had two picks, you know what I mean?
Yeah, in today's practice, yep.
Allen Robinson, it looked like he lost his footing a little bit, but Prince was right there, you know what I mean? He didn't lose stride on one of Mitch's throws, so...
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, might as well just kind of stick with this defense, kind of the other takeaways. Like you just alluded to, Prince Mukamara did have two interceptions, took advantage of that Allen Robinson slip-up. In terms of Kyle Fuller, the other starting corner, didn't really see much from him in this practice. I know in the one-on-one drills that were on the opposite end from where we were at, I know Javon Williams got the better of him in a one-on-one drill, but...
Yeah, but you know what I mean? These guys are out there competing every day.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to be competition, you know what I mean? One player is not going to win every matchup. And that was going to be one of the things I brought up next, is just how deep the wide receiving core is.
Yeah.
You look out there and, you know, Javon Wims, you know, he's really come a long way, you know, for being a sixth or seventh round pick.
Yeah, seventh round.
Riley Ridley was out there. He made some real good catches too. You know, there's just competition all over the field, you know. Taylor Gabriel going down the field against a Leonard Floyd, you know what I mean? Just the size comparison. You see how fast he is. You hear a lot of things about, you know, is the offense going to take that next step? They're going against the best defense in the league. So if even, you know what I mean, the offense wins half of the time, you know, that's still a pretty good success rate.
Yeah, and that's what we got to make sure we're always being accountful for with this offense going against this defense. It's not one that's easy to pass against. These corners are, you know, really good in the secondary, and what you got, Clint Dix and Eddie Jackson back there. So it's no cakewalk, regardless of the day, the practice for this offense.
And the addition of HaHa, you kind of saw it right now, just having two safeties that could cover a lot of ground. Like, obviously, we saw last year what Eddie, or the last 2 years, what Eddie Jackson can do, and his range is unbelievable. But, you know, HaHa really gives you a little bit more cushion.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Fuller and Prince are pretty lucky to have two safeties back there who, you know what I mean, have a pretty good range.
Yeah, and that allows these corners to, you know, take more of those risks, those opportunities to jump these routes when you have two guys that have the range that they do.
Yeah.
But I think you mentioned a good point about the wide receivers and Riley Ridley. Today was really the first day that we saw a lot of action from him, because yesterday was the first time he was actually in full pads, good to go. He made a lot of catches today, mostly with the second team, third team offenses, but he was out there being targeted from Chase Daniel, Tyler Bray. That's what you want to kind of see.
Yeah, he's taking advantage of the reps that he's given. You
Absolutely.
Know what I mean? When his number was called upon, you know, I believe he might have had a drop.
A drop, yeah.
But you know what I mean? I know there's two or three plays where they are pretty, you know, difficult snags. You know what I mean?
That over he, Duke Shelley, yeah, he was in coverage there.
That he went and finished. It's just awesome to see, you know. These guys are out there challenging each other, pushing each other, and it'll be real nice to see, you know, how deep the skill positions are. You know, something else we noticed is Cordero Patterson, how versatile he's kind of been lining up. Took a lot of snaps at running back, had him in the slot, had him on the outside. A lot of impressive catches. I believe there was like two, three play stretch in a row. Where, you know what I mean, it was a handoff, a catch, and a, you know, another handoff to Cordero in different, you know, formations.
Yeah, and that's like the good thing about Cordero Patterson being the versatile guy that he is. Like earlier on in practice, to start off, he was repping with the running backs, just getting handoff drills. Then he'll go to the wide receivers, working with them, and then the sequence of plays you just mentioned, he gets a handoff, is able to go burst off the left side for a big gain. Then he gets a pass on the left side of the field for a good gain in the passing game. So just showing the versatility for Cordero Patterson and what Matt Nagy can do with him and that creativeness.
It's going to be awesome to see the added wrinkle that gets put in. You know what I mean? They had so much versatility last year with Tariq and how they used, Trey Burton and all the different weapons. But just to have another guy who's just going to be, teams, you can't game plan, you know what I mean?
For all these weapons.
You can't take them all the way. It's going to be very difficult.
It is, and that's a good thing for the Bears and a bad thing for the 31 other teams that are in the NFL, for sure.
It's going to be tough. One of the other things, that just really stood out was some tight end play.
Yeah.
Not having Trey Burton on the field really is
It's getting interesting.
Yeah, 100%. Adam Shaheen, he's been dealing with the lower back, He had some work done on it. Some massaging and whatnot.
Earlier, and Adam Shaheen was just kind of doing that to himself.
Yeah, when he was like on the sideline there. He had a few checkdown receptions. There was two backups who undrafted free agents, I believe. Mm-hmm. Who really were stepping up on second and third team, but the depth on the tight end. Something to monitor, going forward.
And I know early on, Adam Shaheen had a drop. I tweeted that out, and he was picking up from yesterday. But there really wasn't a lot from the first string tight ends. Ben Broniker, I think, had a couple catches. But it was mostly the guy who had, the practice of his life was Ellis Richardson, backup tight end. He did most of his work, obviously, with the third-team offense. But in terms of the tight end play overall, most of the production came from the backups as opposed to, those starters that were in. And, it's not that that's an issue when you have Adam Shaheen, who's still coming back from injury. Trey Burton didn't practice again. We'll see if maybe the Bears allude to as to why he's still not out there practicing, maybe just precautionary for week one. Obviously, he's coming off surgery this offseason. But, yeah, not much from the first string tight ends today.
No, the good thing that I think it is doing is kind of solidifying, showing the Bears what they have if they need to hold on to something outside of, like we had mentioned, Trey Burton, Adam Shaheen, Ben Broniker, and whatever the project you want to say about Bradley Soule.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting. I don't think Soule should be anywhere considered a tight end, but
he's working on it. Throughout this training camp, these practices, we see him kind of putting the extra work in when maybe the rest of the tight ends, the group, are doing some team drills or whatever. He's out there trying to just catch the ball, look like a tight end. And I would say the first day I saw him out there, he did look a little clunky with his routes, but still adjusting to a new position.
Correct. I don't necessarily think that they're going to purposely put him out there to be a pass-catching tight end.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be using him for a heavy set load, in the run game and stuff like that, so they don't have to technically, declare another lineman eligible. But at the same time, he's a project, and that's essentially, what you kind of expected out of him.
Yeah, being a former offensive lineman going to tight end, so a bit of a transition there. David, we have to talk, and everybody always wants to know, how is Mitch Trubisky looking? What were your just initial takeaways seeing him in your first practice at Bourbon Aid?
Well, he looks pretty fluid in his motions, Going through the drills, you could tell athletically, he's just way more talented, gifted talently, than someone, say, Chase Daniels or Tyler Bray. The fluidity of his movements and everything is awesome. When he was in team, he wasn't really forcing anything. I wouldn't necessarily say he had a bad practice. He did get picked off twice. One, like we mentioned earlier, where Allen Robinson had a little
slip up. Yep.
Yeah, but and Prince just stayed on it, and then the second Prince pick.
Yeah.
It's interesting to see the pieces are in place for him to take that next step. People worry about how he performs in camp. But like we were talking about earlier, you have the number one defense, returning defense, across from you. It's hard to be putting together, you know what I mean, good, consistent practices when you have the, you know, arguably the best player in the NFL and Khalil Mack.
Rushing after you
and,
every play.
You know what I mean? Just so much talent on the other side of the ball. When we get into games where, you know what I mean, they're not facing, you know, the people on the same team, I'm pretty sure we'll be fine.
Yeah, I think, you know, for Mitch Trubisky today, the Bears were not in full pads. They just had helmets and shorts on today. I thought he looked pretty decent. I think that he was accurate, decisive with his throws, knew where he wanted to go. Like we alluded, he got picked off in that one play, and he gave an opportunity to Adam Shaheen to the other one. It was good ball placement.
Yeah,
it wasn't
right.
A bad decision, just a hell of a play by Roquan Smith there. So I think Trubisky had a good practice, showed what you wanted to see from him. I know we joked early on where Mitch was just warming up and they had two coaches, one on each side, and he threw to his left. I'm like, oh, that destroys the narrative. He can throw to his left. But I think Mitch Trubisky overall had a decent practice today, and that's your Mitch update. Was there anything, and I know offensive line play is so tough to gauge, especially in these practices when, one, the defense really can't get after it and kind of go to the quarterback, but was there anything that maybe stood out to you out of all facets of the offensive line, first, second, or third string?
Just how, you know what I mean, there's a lot of competition, and from they're going to be trying to get those offensive linemen out into space to block for these more shifty guys, you know, the David Montgomery is the farthest thing from Jordan Howard.
Oh, yeah.
Mike Davis, you know what I mean? He is pretty, you know what I mean, A-back, B-gap running back. But he has some shift in him, too. And obviously, we know what Tariq Cohen can do. They're going to be looking to have these guys out in space, from what it seems like. Or at least from today's installment of camp.
Yeah, remember when it was, who were the three offensive linemen that went out on
essentially,
that?
Essentially, it was your center, James Daniels, Kyle Long, and Bobby Massey, all, you know what I mean?
Got out in space
five,
in front.
6 yards off the hash up in front. It'll be interesting to see, you know what I mean? Put people in front of, you know, the small, shifty, speedy guys
see
and let them, go and see what they could do, you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, no. When you have those offensive linemen in front of you, regardless of who the running back is, right. I think you're going to gain some positive yardage there.
And then we saw in team, too, you know what I mean? Tariq Cohen took a pass off the flat, turned it up the sideline, and just dusted everyone.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? Give him a lane, and you know what I mean? He'll do the rest.
Yeah, and it was Kyle Fuller. It was Buster Screen. Looked like they had good angles on Tariq Cohen, but when he gets to that edge and is able to turn up field, there's not many people in the league
right.
that can get that right angle on Tariq Cohen.
It seems like he just puts it into the next gear, and he just turns it on.
Yeah, absolutely. And just kind of sticking with the running backs here because we mentioned Cohen. Montgomery, I didn't see too much from him today, but where I did notice him just flourish, and he's been doing it all camp, is when he goes vertical. Like you just said, he's the furthest thing from Jordan Howard. He was split out wide and caught a simple hitch route. You would have never seen that from Jordan Howard. If anything, Jordan Howard's out there to maybe block on some kind of screen or something like
right.
that.
Right. You know what I mean? Just to have the ability to throw a running back, you know what I mean, out on the numbers.
Yep.
And have him kind of, you know, work against the linebacker. It's just something the Bears haven't had in quite some time.
Since Matt Forte, probably.
Yeah, 100%. Just Montgomery's a powerful running back. He kind of runs like Maurice Jones-Drew in a sense. You know what
low,
I mean?
Low pad low, level.
Yeah, correct. You know what I mean? Like, he's going to try to bowl you over, but he has good shiftiness and, you know what I mean, hands to where he's going to be effective in the run game.
Yeah, so I mean, that's really the, I guess, the bigger takeaway. And it's hard to gauge with these running backs, too, when they're not in pads. Montgomery didn't have those opportunities to really lower the shoulder and bounce off tackles
right.
this practice, but we have seen it. I know everyone's seen the video where he ran over about four dudes in just a running play there. But those are kind of the big takeaways on the offense. I don't think we're really forgetting anything. Riley really had a good practice. Alice Richardson had a really good practice. Mitch looked good. But I think those are really, you know, the bigger takeaways on the offensive side of the ball. Defensively, again, we talked about it. This defense just looks aggressive, playing fast. Khalil Mack, when you have a guy that's leading by example, the rest of the defense really just kind of follows that by, you know, example.
You're right. Everyone's elevating their game. You know what I mean? We saw it 2 years ago. They were a great defense. And then you bring that type of player with that type of energy and that type of leadership. Everyone is picking up their game.
Yeah.
It's awesome to see, you know, and it's just leading to just better competition on the field. We saw it with Prince and Anthony Miller. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They were lined up across from each other for one too many plays, and these guys were jawing at each other.
John, there's a little shove at the end there. I'm pretty sure everything's all good. I know someone mentioned the culture, like the Bears players shouldn't be doing this. That's just competition. They both, you know, got in each other's face, and that's quite all right.
It's team competition, you know. As soon as Thursday comes, and they're all wearing, you know what I mean?
Same uniform.
And they have, you know, a different team lined up against them. Everything, all of that stuff's going to go out the window, you know what I mean? Prince had a great year last night, and you know what I mean? He's trying to elevate the other guys to, you know, rise to that level. Because if they could beat the defense, you know, who's going to stop them?
Exactly. If the Bears offense can, you know, beat this, there's not a lot of teams that they can't go up against, regardless of the week, and, you know, dominate. And that's what we want to see. And I think today was a good practice from, you know, overall in general, a good practice from offense, defense. What was interesting today, David, and, you know, being the one time that you'll be able to come to training camp, you didn't get to see the kickers kick field goals. This is the first time out of all the times that I've been here, and now 7 days, that the Bears did not have Elliott Fry or Eddie Pinheiro kick field goals. The only thing they kind of worked on, not unless by the time we left they kicked a field goal, I doubt it, was they worked on some onside kicks.
Correct, yeah. It is kind of, you know what I mean? You kind of want to buy into the storylines and everything, see how everyone's doing. Not real sure what's the whole point with that, but, you know, I thought it was interesting because the Bears released their first official depth chart today. You know what I mean? They didn't have, you know, a kicker one, kicker two.
Yeah.
The starting kicker position actually says
Eddie Pinheiro or Elliott Fry.
Right.
So there's
they're not giving any of these guys, you know what I mean, a nod or, you know, they're not showing that one's in the lead, kind of letting them get the chip on their shoulder. They're letting these guys go out and compete. It's going to be something where they determine it, you know, week four of the preseason.
Yeah, how do you feel? Do you want, I asked Will on an earlier podcast, would you rather have one guy just kind of take away this, run with this competition and be the guy and another one fades out, or would you rather have it, they're neck and neck all the way to the end, and then you have to determine, like you said, by week four? Is there a preference there?
I'm fine with, you know what I mean, a neck and neck battle. It's one of those things, it's just like, you want, competition brings out the best in everyone. Let these guys earn it, let them prove to you that, you know what I mean, they're the kicker that should be on the team at the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be interesting how it plays out, because here at training camp, when the kickers get out there, it's not time to go to the bathroom, not time to go get a burger or food or a drink. Everybody is watching.
I guarantee, you know what I mean? There's 31 other teams, and no one follows the kicker competition
quite like we
as closely as they are right here in Bourbonnais.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting thing to watch. Too bad we didn't get to see it today. You know, before we kind of collect all of our thoughts here, we have to announce the winner. I didn't get a chance to do it yesterday because my phone crapped out on me, overheated, and I had to do some unorthodox podcast kind of walking around. So I didn't have a chance to announce the winner of the 500th reviewer on the Apple iTunes. So, random draw came out to reviewer Doug Father. And Doug Father, you are the winner of the free Bears jersey. What you can do, you can either reach us on Twitter on a DM, send a message on the Facebook page, or you can email will@chicagoaudible.com. Get in contact with us. Your free jersey is waiting for you, and hopefully if you're going to a preseason game or if you're going to a game, you'll have that by, soon, hopefully. Soon, whatever. And we were actually talking about the jerseys before we came in. It's just nice to see so many, like, current players that people are representing.
Yeah, most definitely. You know, last year when I was here 2 years ago, you would see a lot of Urlachers, a lot of Julius Peppers, Fortes, Cutlers, you know what I mean? It's just cool to see that, you know what I mean, and jersey sales, you know, they have players that, you know, the fans are wanting to see. A lot of Khalil Mack, you know, you saw some Eddie Jackson, you know what I mean? It's just awesome to see that they have players that are marketable, you know what I mean, that are drawing fans in, you know what I mean? It's just growing the organization.
Yeah, and these are players that are, you know, fundamental for the Bears' success moving forward, and It's great to see that the fan base is kind of getting behind that. How's it going, you guys?
Good, how you doing?
Pretty good, pretty good.
I just wanted to come up and say hi to you.
Oh, hey, yeah, not a problem. Nothing much. What's your name?
David.
David, Nick. Nice to meet you. Yep.
I'm David as well.
David and David.
Yeah, kind of we're doing a live podcast, but people are walking by, so nice. It's great to...
I watched a couple of the days last week, so...
Okay, gotcha, cool. Yeah, so, yeah, we've been doing this every day, just kind of update after practice, but... Yeah, thanks for supporting and
yeah, no problem.
Keep on watching.
Yeah, man. Keep on watching.
Thank you.
Hey, you guys have a good rest of your day.
Yep,
bear down.
Bear down. Bear down. Love to hear it.
You know, that's just what kind of happens, in person live podcast.
Oh, it's just it's all a part of the atmosphere,
yeah.
Man. You know what I mean? Obviously, within the last probably since 06, you know what I mean? We had some pretty up and down years, man. The atmosphere out here is just awesome. Everyone is just getting behind this team because they know what it's capable of.
Absolutely. I mean, the sky's the limit for this Bears team, especially in 2019. And it's great that the Bears are, you know, a team that's relevant again. Relevant and has Super Bowl aspirations. That's for damn sure.
Yeah. It was nice to actually, you know, we saw it during practice. Another thing, you know, Bill Barnwell, I know you said you're not a big fan. He's ESPN, you know, analysis. You put the top five most likely teams to see an increase and then top five teams, in his opinion, to see a decrease. And with him always being so, you know, not against the Bears, but just...
But a little bit.
Yeah. You know what I mean? The Bears weren't one of them. It was the Rams, the Saints, the Cowboys, just overall throughout the league. So the guy might not like the Bears all too much, but at least at the very least... You know what I mean? Those were three other division
NFC.
Winning NFC teams last year. And he thinks they're all going to get worse.
Hey,
so,
as long as the Bears aren't on that list, again, his opinion, but I think the Bears are in good shape. David, was there, not just kind of trying to recollect all of our thoughts here, anything else that everybody needs to hear? This is the last day that I'll be here. The Chicago Audible will be covering
really,
camp.
The Bears, you know, they're wrapping up camp after this weekend anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just to remind everyone that football's back. There's training camps essentially over. These guys are going to be at Halas Hall come next week. And this is where, you know, the process really starts. The veterans who need to lock their spots in. The undrafted free agents who need to make their opinions, you know what I mean, make their impressions, you know, stronger.
Yep.
This is where, you know, the going gets tough and the tough get going.
Yeah.
You know, we're really blessed to have such two really good first units, you know what I mean? But for the guys who, you know what I mean, are kind of fighting for those spots, it's time, you know what I mean?
It's time to make some plays, make some good lasting impressions, and they can do that starting Thursday against the Carolina Panthers for their first preseason game of the season, and then... Like David just said, football will be officially back. And that was probably a good way to end this podcast because, you know, fans just honked their But like you said, it's been a good time here at Bourbonnais and football is back. But I think that's going to conclude it for this episode of the Chicago Audible Podcast. Thank you for everybody that's been tuning in. Checking out these reports. Thank you, David, for first timer on the podcast.
Thank you for having me. You know what I mean? Chatting with you about, you know, the best thing in the world, Bears football, is always a pleasure. You know what I mean? And I can't wait to see what happens from here, from going here forward. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's just going to wrap it up. Again, thank you for everybody tuning in. And we'll see you on Thursday when we have our first game podcast of the year after the Bears. Come on, dominate the Carolina Panthers. But until next time, bear down, Chicago.